Day four of the trade period may just be remembered as the day that unlocked it all. Welcome to Trading Day and welcome back Ben Dixon and Lee Montagna and John Ralph. You have the news of the day.
I do. Orazio Fantasia, he is staying at Essendon. Unbelievable, rebuffing a furious Port Adelaide today. St Kilda has sensationally called the bluff of the Fremantle Football Club. So they've turned pick six, which was for Brad Hill, of course, into 12 and 18. That goes to GWS. They now have a pick above Tom Green, their inside academy inside midfield star, and Grant Birchall. Well, he's a Lion. He is following in the footsteps of the four-time Hawk, Luke Hodge.
So Orazio Fantasia staying at Essendon, as broken by Matty Barmer on the Fox Footy website. A good get from him, but also a great get for Essendon, because I think we all thought that he was probably going to request a trade.
As did Port Adelaide. They feel like they've been jilted at the altar. They bought the beautiful suit. They were waiting there. They were reciting their vows. They had the little corsage. And all of a sudden, he got cold feet and he just ran down the aisle there. Now, there's no doubt that this was a move that was developed all the way back to the mid part of the season. They'd been courting each other. They all thought that it was going to happen. And then today, with his manager, Michael Dowdy, he finally had time to compare the offers and he said, no cigar. Spoken to Michael Dowdy today, he said he's a proud person. He had a poor year with injury. He wants to get back to his best footy and show what he can do. And he still thinks it's the environment to do it. Has he done the wrong thing by leading them on and then saying no?
No, absolutely not. You're allowed to be in limbo as a player. You are allowed to be in two minds, umming and ahhing what you want to do. He never officially came out and put his hand up and said, I declare I want to go to Port Adelaide. I know that, you know, there were a lot of people that had heard word that he'd spoken to friends, spoken to other people that potentially he wanted to go back to Adelaide, but that's okay. I don't think it's a black and white rule with players that you have to say, I'm in or I'm out. I said this to Kingy last week. You're allowed to be in two minds and take as much time as you need to make your mind up. We've had times we've made big decisions in life where you've ummed and ahed and gone yes, gone no. And in the end, I can't see a problem with the decision.
Yeah, and once again, Port Adelaide, if they have any more seconds, they'd be a minute, wouldn't they? Like, their trade table at the moment is just...
It's probably why they're so frustrated with this.
Well, they would be frustrated, and I'm a little bit with Joey. Players have options. We've got free agency now, so it's not so cutthroat on loyalty now. You do have to shop around, have a look, see your opportunities. His opportunity lies at Essendon. He's made the call, so I'm glad he made it today.
Yeah. 20 goals last year. We've never seen the best of the three Essendon small forwards together. They've all had great individual years. So Stringer, McDonald, Tippin, Woody and Orazio Fantasia, imagine if they all get fit and they're all firing. We all know the Danaher situation, but this is a situation where potentially John Worsfold says, that's our Onewood, these three stars.
And I think Fantasia's so important to the Bombers. At his best, he is a match winner. Now, we know that he had some groin troubles this year. He was injured. When he's up and going, though, and there were some stats early in the year, he's almost their most important forward in regards to his impact on the scoreboard when he's playing well. So it's great for Essendon. Great for Essendon fans that he's staying there, because if he can get his body right, he's, I still think, a star of the competition.
And they're going to flip their game plan around. They don't want to play that back half Bomber blitz. They want to play that front half. And like Joey said, he's the man in the front half with the speed, that ability to build on 20 goals, 30 goals. He's a 40-goal forward if he's right.
And it relates closely to your scoop of the day, Ralphie.
That's right. Now, if he had made his way to Port Adelaide, my understanding is that Sam Powell-Pepper would almost have certainly come back to the Essendon Football Club. Now, of course, until Fantasia made his decision, there couldn't be official talks about that. But Essendon had done enough due diligence to think that Sam Powell-Pepper was the inside midfielder that they needed. Now, he would have found his way to the hangar. I asked Port Adelaide today, well, what happens next year? They said, no, once bitten, twice shy. You know, we can't go down that path again with Fantasia.
So Fantasia won't be going to Port Adelaide next year?
I mean, things can change in 12 months. But right now, their view is that we've had our chance. He's had our chance. He said no. It's time for us to move on.
Interesting. So the Adelaide Crows maybe come into the picture next year, because Mark McGowan's story about 3 months ago for the AFL website was that he would leave at some stage in the future. And he's got 2 years left on this deal. And it appears like he was thinking about a lot this year. Maybe next year he decides to go. But that's for next year's trading day. Powell-Pepper, as a midfielder, does it mean he's definitely staying then?
That's right. So that would only have happened if Fantasia had arrived into the football club. It was going to be a player-for-player swap, maybe with some picks as well. So he will stay now. And he's always wanted to stay, but potentially Port Adelaide might have shunted him out the door.
So what if another club came to Port Adelaide and said, well, we know that you're prepared to get rid of Powell-Pepper. Here's a trade, or here's a, you know, here's something we can do. Why wouldn't they consider it for another club?
Maybe in a player trade. But all the way along, Powell-Pepper and his manager, Colin Young, have said he doesn't want to go. So again, you know, things can happen where players are pushed aside, but I think that trade's probably dead.
Do they want to relieve some salary cap? Is that part of it?
So they've shipped $650,000 of cap space and spare cap space into next year. And so they have admitted privately behind the scenes that we've got cap pressures. And then David Koch comes out at the Best and Fairest. We've got 100% of the cap. We've got no financial pressures at all. So every player manager you talk to says, we're confused. I'm confused too.
We've had a few David King big calls in a row, but I'm looking forward to yours tonight, Dicko, because it's about probably the biggest player in this trade period.
Well, it is, and it impacts Essendon Footy Club again. The big call is, what if Joe stays? Like, what if this deal cannot be done? And I know you're very confident it will get done.
But none of us know for sure.
Well, we don't know for sure. So if he does stay, what does that look like? I think it looks pretty good for the Essendon Footy Club. Orazio Fantasia's just said he stays. Well, I think if Joe stays, yep, push it all aside. OK, we've had some disagreements. But that's a big call. That's a huge call. Showing your cards you want to go and then having to stay.
And I don't mind it because we've seen with Tim Kelly, I'm sure Essendon aren't going to be too flat if they keep Joe Danaher. I know, again, people saying, well, if they say they want to leave, you've got to get rid of them. I disagree.
David King sat there and said
But I disagree because players, he's not going to drop his bottom lip next year, Joe Danaher, and not try if he's still at the football club. He will still give his all. And if you get a fully fit Joe Danaher and Orazio Fantasia in that forward line, 12 months is a long time. Things can happen. Things can change. They could play finals, Ralphie, and all of a sudden those boys want to stay at the footy club.
What if he comes out and kicks 70? Gets his body right. Yep. You know, they're happy. All of a sudden he likes what Ben Rutten's doing.
Yep.
Look, I still think he's going to go. But strange things have happened. He's not going to Sydney for family reasons. He's just getting out of the bubble. He'd be a happy player if he goes and wins the Coleman next year.
His best year was 63. So you reckon it'll get done?
I think it'll get done.
I think it'll get done. But
Letterbox sitting on the fence.
We don't know until Adrian Dodoro signs that paper and
he's playing hardball at the moment.
He is, and that's his right to play hardball. And none of that really surprises opposition clubs. One deal that surprised me today was the Saints and the GWS Giants getting together and orchestrating a pick swap that has significant implications for the Fremantle Dockers.
This is so juicy. We only really get in the trade period when clubs are at war, and I think that's what's happening right now with Freo and St Kilda. So the pick swap. So St Kilda gives 6 and 59 to GWS. GWS gives 12 and 18 back. And of course, they think that Tom Green, their young star, might be 8 to 12. So they get a first pick and then they take him. What does this mean? Extraordinary situation with Fremantle and Brad Hill. So St Kilda's offer for Brad Hill was pick 6 and a 2020 future second rounder. Peter Bell said, no, we want 6, we want a future first rounder and a future third rounder. Tim Kelly type stuff, Chris Judd type stuff. And so St Kilda said, no way. So you've got some information about potentially a deadline, but what happened there is that St Kilda said, no, you've got enough time. We're going to go and do other things. We're going to get 12 and 18. We might at some stage give you some later picks. We're going to get going on the rest of our suite of trades.
Yeah, so St Kilda gave them the deadline of this morning, and Fremantle came back and said, no, we don't like that. We want this, a future third rounder, a future first rounder, and pick 6. And it was laughed away, and then the Giants and the Saints already had this pick swap in motion, so that's why that deal got done pretty much straight away.
I don't think you can't sit there and wait for the deal to happen. You've got to move, and we know St Kilda want to bring 4 players into their football club, so picks are everything right now. So if they're going to deal with the Giants and give the deadline of this morning and they can't come to that Fremantle, well, that's one gone through to the keeper.
Well, let's talk about the Saints. What does it mean for the Saints, what happened today?
Well, you've still got to understand, the Saints have still got to find a way to satisfy Fremantle because Brad Hill is contracted. So it's still in St Kilda's to find what's going to suit Fremantle Dockers. Yep. But unfortunately now they don't have... I think Fremantle will be disappointed they've lost pick 6 because, you know, my thoughts, I think pick 6 is a much better option getting inside the top 10 than potentially something else. So maybe now I think what St Kilda can do is still use pick 12 for Brad Hill with whatever else they agree on top of that, whether it's a second round or a future first.
Yep.
And then St Kilda can still use their pick 18, which they've got. Plus, we think they'll get something for Josh Bruce around the 30s 32. And Jack Stephen around the same mark. There's their 3 picks where they can go and get Zach Jones, Dougal Howard, and whoever else. But I still think they want Brad. Brad Hill's their number one target. So they've still got to get that deal done first before they worry about getting the other players.
How does that look now if Peter Bell goes back and goes, OK, we will take 12 now. We could have had 6.
It's no feather in your cap, I tell you.
It is not, isn't it? It's a hard one to swallow.
Just explain to us why Fremantle will probably not accept 12 and 18 for Brad Hill. Why is that not going to happen?
Because they've always wanted a pick within 10 and they've always wanted a mega deal. And so I think he feels like in his second year as the football boss, I wanted that insane deal, and so I can say to Justin Longmuir, here's all these amazing picks. We're going to do a Hawthorn or a Geelong and build a dynasty here. Can I give you one more wrinkle?
There's also an academy player as well in there that impacts Freo, and they might not be able to get them if 12 and 18 don't come their way.
Here's the other wrinkle. Port Adelaide now want a first rounder for Dougal Howard. So their understanding is that he's been offered 5 years by St Kilda at maybe $500,000. I'm hearing even more than that.
Oh.
And so they're saying, even though he wasn't in their side late last year, if you want to get Dougal Howard, then we want something like pick 18. So instead of them splitting 18 and using that for Zach Jones and all the other players they want, They're playing hardball. It's
We should just put it out there. What people clubs are saying they want versus what they probably feel they're going to get are completely different. Yeah. So even with Fremantle, I'm sure Peter Bell might have said they wanted all that. But really, it's like any negotiation. One club starts high, one starts low, and you meet.
But it takes
somewhere
a week
middle.
And a half to get there. And
it does.
Kilda didn't have a week and a half to get there.
Well, hence why there's 4 days in and we've had one trade because everyone at the moment is posturing.
So they've got a secret weapon, Gabby Allen.
Exactly.
Gabby Allen's come back in there. What do you know about Gabby that? Well,
I know about Gabby that if you want to buy the house, he knows the reserve. That's what I know about Gabby Allen. Okay. So, yep, have a look at the facade, look around, son, whatever you want. He knows exactly what he wants and he gets the deal done.
Is there any chance that Brad Hill stays at Fremantle next year and he has 2 years left on this deal? Colin Young is a very powerful manager in Perth, Dicko.
The most powerful manager.
He is. Yeah,
absolutely.
The Saints will do anything. I know they've said no now, but they'll do anything to get him there. And it's Fremantle now. It's on Fremantle. It's on Peter Bell to say, OK, I'm going to swallow this now and take the 12, take the future first rounder, second rounder, and Joey's just breathing
out. It's a big game of bluff, isn't it? Yeah. And who's going to blink first?
And Peter Bell got his man, of course. We know that with Lachie Neal. He moved on, but they were able to get
Jesse Hogan
as well. Yeah. So it's going to be fascinating. Max King is interesting. His brother, Ben. Yeah. We all know that they're trying to keep that future first rounder just in case he wants to come back. But look, clubs can trade back into the first round next year. So even if they had to give that for Brad Hill, they'd still find a way, if Ben King said, I want to come, to get a package of picks that would satisfy Gold Coast.
Also just finished down the bottom of the ladder, Ralphie, if you want to do that one as well.
Well, we saw this trade come through the day with the pick swaps, and I thought, this is a nice little pick swap between the Giants and the Saints. And then you delve a little deeper and you realise it implicates Freo significantly. But we haven't even spoken about how it implicates the Giants. Talk us through the Giants and why they like this deal, Ralphie.
So Tom Green is effectively, and we'll ask you about it in a second, he's the new Patrick Cripps. Yeah. He's a real inside bull. Now, clearly, they don't want to have to just match that pick. They want to get in early, as Sydney were able to do with Nick Blakey. And then, so they get a pick within six, and then they get him for 10. They match some points later on. They've effectively got two young bona fide stars.
And that's the way we've got to understand it. But there's even more to it. Potentially the Sydney Swans are going to bid for Tom Green. So GWS might even have to go from six to pick four or three to get inside the Sydney Swans to get a top four pick and then also use their later picks to get Tom Green. So this might also implicate Melbourne and Adelaide who have picks three and four. They might be able to do a deal with the Giants and say, we'll give you pick, let's say Adelaide, we'll give you pick four. You give us pick six and maybe Aiden Bonner or someone like that. And we need an inside mid at the Crows. Yep. We're a bit short now with a few of the guys moving on, Alice Yolman and Greenwood, Richie Douglas retiring. So the Adelaide Crows might say, we'll give you pick four. You give us pick six and one of your players. I think Bonner's on nearly 400,000. Frees up some money in the salary cap. And then Giants, as you said, get two top five picks into the club next year. So this can have a lot of implications for some other clubs as well.
Getting back to the King call a couple of nights ago, we might need only, Kingy reckons, 2 days for the trade. After all that, I think we're in the right time frame.
Look, if you haven't got your head around it, head to foxfooty.com.au and get your head around it there because that's got all the information from Matt Barmer and Benny Waterworth and the boys upstairs. It's an intriguing time of the year, and these pick swaps, they mean a lot more than just the selections they're going to take in the draft, don't they?
They certainly do. Yeah, and look, we've seen with so many of these pick swaps that eventually, if you can go on and get two first rounders, effectively two for one in one of those picks, then, you know, that's what list managers do. That's why they get paid the big
bucks. They're not doing this willy-nilly. Every club is doing this for a reason that suits them, and they've got a plan, and that's what they're all working through at the moment. It's why it's been a slow start to this trade period. Everyone's got a plan, and they're working towards getting the best deal they can for their footy club.
Brad Crouch, is he worth $1 million a year, as has been reported by Sam Edmund in the Herald Sun, that he's asking for at other clubs?
I don't think he's worth $1 million. No way. Absolutely no way. So he's asking for $1 million.
His management's been shopping him around for a while, hasn't he, Ralphie?
They have. And so what they've effectively said now is that he will stay next year at Adelaide, but he certainly won't be signing a contract over the summer. And so potentially for the Gold Coast or the Geelongs of the world, someone's going to pay him $1 million next year. Not necessarily worth it, but when you're a free agent and you can do the things you can do, we're going to get rich.
Well, we look at it and we say, Hanbury got 800 last year, and you look at a Brad Crouch who averaged 30 disposals this year. Tom Lynch comes to Richmond on big money, but he's a big game player. He's yet to prove that he's the big game player. So,
has he hurt you enough? I think that's the pot from other clubs. He gets a lot of it, doesn't kick a lot of goals. So does he hurt you enough?
Well, probably not. He's not in that category of the elite midfielders of the competition when we talk about Dangerfield and Fife and Dusty Martin, etc. I mean, he can ask for $1 million. Doesn't mean he'll get it. But I think he's huge now to the Adelaide Crows for next season. I mean, really, they are a bit thin in the midfield with just him and his brother and Sloan. Besides that, now losing a few others, they're a bit thin in there. So he will become important, play out the year. And again, as we said, 12 months is a long time in footy. We'll wait and see what happens with Brad Crouch.
They're going to ask for a lot for him if he goes, though.
Yeah, they will. Yeah. And the problem is they had an issue this year with those three players and also Bryce Gibbs, all slow, one-paced. So they've moved a lot of jigsaw puzzles around. They've still got those four blokes who are all slow and all one-paced.
Yeah, that's why I think maybe getting a play at one of the GWS Giants, young midfielders that can't get a game, bring, you know, someone like a Bonner's got that explosive tearaway speed. They can rejig it, put some speed in there. Wayne Miller up, might play in there. I actually don't mind the idea of playing Rory Sloane a bit more of a half-forward next year, a bit more of that Toby Green, quite Gary Ablett role.
Why do you think, why?
Just to try and mix up their midfield a little bit. I mean, you're right, they are a bit one-paced. You've got the Crouch boys who can play inside. Sloane, I think, has got a great set of hands. He can kick a goal. His forward pressure will be off the charts. I think he can turn himself into an elite half-forward like we're seeing some other players in the competition.
And he's a limited time up forward. He's very similar to Robbie Gray. Yeah. He can make something happen out of nothing. So.
Interesting. Mm. Good, we've buried the lead there. That's very good. We'll be back after the ad break. We'll talk about Tom Papley, Grant Birchall, and maybe even a little bit of Tom Langdon and Matt Scherenberg with Joe McGuire. Stay with us. Welcome back to Trading Day. Joey Maguire, sorry, Joey Montana.
Was Joey the money?
Who Joey Maguire was?
Yeah, that's actually Eddie Maguire's son.
I thought you were going
with Jerry Maguire. It actually is Eddie Maguire's son. Anyway, let's get to it. Tom Papley, I want to talk about first. And before we ask these guys what they think of Tom Papley, where's it at?
Carlton still thinks they'll get him for some of pick nine. So they're hopeful to split nine and get 26 back from Sydney, and then they could use that potentially on Jack Martin. Jack Martin's camp's a little bit nervous, and so if it gets to Monday next week, they'll start looking at plan Bs, whether it's that future second rounder that Gold Coast have already rebuffed. I think it'll all get done, and they still feel it will, but some people are getting nervous.
You could draw a line through these two, whether it's Kingy or Dicko there or Joey there, what Tom Papley
boxing gloves
is worth. Get the boxing gloves out.
Well, I've got a different opinion because I've watched him pretty closely, and as a forward, I think he's the most influential forward in Sydney's front.
So pick nine's probably a fair trade.
I think it's a fair trade for him because kicked 37 goals this year. He's been on the build. He's as consistent as you get. He's averaged 30 goals for the last four seasons. I thought he took his game to a new level. Number one impact player for the Sydney Swans. You've got Luke Parker that goes mid-forward. He can go forward mid. He can do it all. And I know from an opposition analysis point of view, he's held very high. And they're hard to come by, the guys that can get you 40 goals a year. He's a 45er, and if we want to compare notes, Cyril Rioli, when he started his career, was building on the same numbers. I'm not saying he's a Cyril Rioli, but you've got to be consistent as a small forward, and he does that.
Yeah, I just think pick nine's overs for Tom Papley. He's a very good player, don't get me wrong, good small forward. But his numbers this year were very similar, actually almost identical to Jamie Cripps at the West Coast Eagles, not too dissimilar to Jason Castagna. Now, if you said those guys were a top 10 pick, you would laugh. I think he's a good player, but I think, Ralphie, if it ends up being 25 back and for pick nine, Carlton get Tom Papley and Jack Martin, that sounds much better to me than just giving up pick nine for Tom Papley.
So you get the two?
Yeah.
Potentially, yeah. I think the one thing with him as well is that he's kicked those 4 years of 30 goals and he's only 23 years of age. Mm. So you look at Alex Keith, he's had one good year, he's looking for bumper money. This is a bloke who's still got massive upside and has been able to do it as a really young forward. That's a great sign for him.
And he's also played in a side that hasn't played finals. So they groomed some young kids this year and I thought he was outstanding.
Now, you're a former Hawks forward yourself. Tell us about this Hawthorn forward line, which doesn't quite have John Patton yet, Ralph, but we can't be far away.
Well, I've already got him in there.
Yeah. What if he's the last trade, John Patton, not the first?
Where's it at, Ralphie? This one will get done.
It'll get done. But you know
what are the Hawks up to? This is the question. This is what people are asking. If this was such an obvious one, what are the Hawks up to?
Well, because it's a throwaway pick, Hawthorn doesn't know what they need with those late picks. And so basically the commitment's there. Whatever their last pick is, at 8 o'clock on Wednesday night, they'll get that deal done. But they just don't know exactly what it is now.
Will they get it like the Scully one? What was it? Fourth round, pretty handy. But the forward line next year looks pretty... Like, we all wonder where Hawthorn's list's at. And when you say old against the new and what have they got in the middle? Well, their forward line next year, Patton, Gunston, Lewis, Mitchell Lewis, who came on late in this year. Then you've got Wingard, Bruce, Hanrahan. Ollie Hanrahan, I reckon's an up-and-coming small forward. So then you've got... Obviously, the Silk can roll through there, and then you've got the Isaac Smiths and through the middle of the ground.
When you say good forward line, though, like how good is that forward line? How deep can that take?
We're almost replacing, really. Okay. So you're filling. So Clarko doesn't want to lose big names in that in terms of role players. So I think you're getting Patton in who's going to play his role.
Are Lewis and Patton too similar as players? Are they the identical player?
I think they're actually a lot different, to be honest. I think Johnny Patton is not as agile as Mitchell Lewis. And I think in terms of pack marking, I think Mitchell Lewis has got him covered. So, yeah.
I remember Tim O'Brien came on late in the season too as a forward who's got some potential as well. Oh, I like the Hawks where they're going. I think they'll be around the mark for top eight next year. I mean, that midfield, when you get the Brownlow medalist back with Wingard and O'Meara, Warple's now a young star. You've got the wings and their halfbacks are led by Sicily and Hardwick are two absolute beauties. They get Frost in the door. Clarko, the genius, you can't discount them. I think the Hawks will be knocking on the door again next year.
Frosty for about a third rounder. Again, that'll take a bit of time.
That'll definitely happen.
Again, it's just, I think, third rounder, two-year deal. Yeah. Wingard, forward or mid. You know, or he's going to play 70-30 one way, which is the 70%.
He plays a hybrid. Yeah.
Grant Birchall arrived at Brisbane today via free agency, which finishes...
I love it.
Just finished, actually, at 5pm tonight, Melbourne time. And it means Hawthorn have no more four-time premiership players on their list from that 08 to 015 era. Jared Roughead retired. But what does this mean for Brisbane, that Grant Birchall is now a Lion next year?
Well, it's enormous because he plays in a very similar role as a Hodge off halfback. Daniel Rich came on leaps and bounds with the Luke Hodge. They're going to grow another leg there with Grant Birchall. Same leadership, not as a bigger general and the pointing like the A380. His arms out all the time, but his training stands as... I know he hasn't had the last couple of years like he would, obviously, through injury, but his experience, his use off halfback, you can't buy that ability to retain the football off halfback, and Grant Birchall is the best in the business. That's why Clarko kept him on. I'd be staggered if Clarko's not disappointed he's not there next year, but obviously his injuries have plagued him over the last couple of years, but he's going to play huge... part for Brisbane going forward.
So you're a superstar like that. Do you have to play 2 years to justify going somewhere? We know Mickey McGowan, of course, played 1 year on. Sam Mitchell only the 1 year. Hodgie really successful. Paul Chapman goes to Western 2 years. If he got 1 year, because he's only played 8 games in the last 3 seasons, and Hodgie, when he moved up there, he'd played 55, including a normie.
I think Grant Birchall's body right now is good. I've spoken to Grant over the last couple of weeks. His body's in a space now where I can get some training under my belt. So he goes up there. Hodgie's changed the game for players that are showing leadership.
Yep.
You would take a player like that, and they might play you 15 games, but what the impact has at training and the way you're going through, obviously, what you want to impact the next year is huge.
So it's the pull for Hodgie. He's allowed all these players to put the pull on or put the third wing on or whatever it might be.
And you're also going into a climate which is... obviously hotter.
So I was going to say, better for the knees, the warmer weather.
Well, it's better for everything. And then you've also got to say, righto, what's his character like? Well, there's no question on that one. Chris Fagan worked with him for a number of years, so you know what you're getting. So I think it's a win-win.
The free agency period closed, as I just mentioned. Which of these players, Joey, do you think should be picked up by some clubs? So you've got your Sam Murrays, you've got your Jack Nunes and Sam Jacobs, we expect will get to the GWS Giants. But it appears as if they haven't been as fruitful as they were last year.
I expect them all to get picked up, but there is more free agency windows, am I correct? It's not just now this is it. There's another window.
They can get picked up elsewhere, but they'll be delisted free agents, Ralphie. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, right. So the delisted free agency has been one of the great rules of all time. Yeah. And yet for all those people in the froth and bubble, Tom Lynch has ruined free agency. We saw Ellis and Tomlinson, two teams in grand finals, go to effectively basket case teams. So, look... it's not a great rule, free agency, but it's not the drama that it is that we all thought it's going to be. You know, the Gold Coast of the world, just a stream of players to premiership contenders.
Yeah. Daniel Menzel's a really interesting one. I know we spoke about him the other night. He wants to play on at the Swans, but if Joe Danaher gets there, it's going to be hard to see him fitting in alongside Sam Reid and also
Blakey.
Which and then, of course, Buddy Franklin.
I don't see it interesting at all. He's not in their best 22, unfortunately. I think his time's up. I think he's passed it, unfortunately. Yep. He had a crack at it. We know his knees, you know, he did a great job to come back. I just think that he's no longer in the best team at Sydney Swans.
I'll take your word for it. Moneyball call, Joey. All yours.
Well, the Moneyball call, speaking of Sam Murray, I want to look at, we still want to find some players that might be vulnerable. You might be able to pull out of another club. Think about what the Western Bulldogs have done to Josh Bruce. 1 year to go on a contract. The Western Bulldogs say, here's 4 years, good money, come to us. Josh Bruce looks like he's going to accept it. What about, and this, I don't want to upset too many Collingwood fans, but what if someone went to a Tom Langdon? He's got 1 year to run on a contract. We know about the Collingwood salary cap squeeze, Ralphie. Oh, yeah. He might get underpaid. What if someone said to Tom Langdon, here's a 4, maybe 5 year deal at really good money, you know, $3 million over the 4 or 5 years. Come to our club because he's an elite intercept defender. I really like Tom Langdon. He was almost leading the Norm Smith at halftime.
He almost
went to the
Swans last year.
Does he have to go to Mount Kilimanjaro to make the decision again?
Yeah, well, that's exactly. Year. He took some time, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
So there are players available. Even a Matt Scharenberg, who we've been reading, is available to another club. I know he's been injury plagued. Have we seen the best of him, or is his best football still to come? There are guys at these clubs that are at the top of the ladder that obviously are trying to squeeze into the best 22. Salary cap issues.
So you're saying
if I was another club, he's another money ball one. A Tom Langdon or Matt Scharenberg. A team like the Kangaroos who need an elite intercept defender. Maybe the Adelaide Crows. Perfect.
Scharenberg to the Roos makes a lot of sense. So you're basically saying prey on the vulnerable. Those with cap issues.
Cap issues and your borderline best 22.
Scharenberg wants to play senior footy as
exactly
well.
Right.
So if you promise him senior footy and a two-year deal, he might go.
And Tom Langdon, getting paid unders, give him some good money. He's an elite intercept defender. Get him at your club, could make a big difference.
And we mentioned Scully before. Where was he going to get with his injuries? And he's obviously came through on the other side. Well, Matty Schoenberg might be the one.
Yeah, possibly.
One.
So
right take now, that North Melbourne punt. Are doing absolutely nothing.
Yeah. They need to shore up their defence. I mean, without losing Scott Thompson, they've got Robbie Tarrant. Madjack hopefully comes back fit and healthy. And Robbie Tarrant's getting towards 30. So they need to shore up their defence. Yeah. And someone like a Schoenberg or a Tom Lang to be beautiful there.
I want a straw poll very quickly. Who's winning the trade period so far? Sorry to catch you unawares. Which club is winning the trade period?
For me, it's the Western Bulldogs. Yeah. You know, just nice strikes, exactly where they need to. I reckon even though Alex Keith's got some foot issues or shin issues, it's the Dogs for me.
Until any deals get done, it has to be the West Coast Eagles. They're the only one that's got their man. There's a lot of talk at the moment, but nothing's been done. So for me, it has to be the West Coast Eagles.
I'll say Birch for the Hawks.
Oh, the Hawks. Well, I'm trying to think who hasn't done too much yet. I mean, most of the clubs haven't done a big trade, but Geelong has lost Kelly. They want to get some players in. Jack Stephen from the Saints as well. But the Saints are targeting so many players. I wonder if they're going to miss out on any of them, Ralphie.
Believe in Gubby Allen.
Yeah. What we do know is next week is going to be busy. It's going to be flat neck. Everyone is waiting for the last minute to get these trades done.
And the big call almost was 2020, the West Coast Eagles got it. They got their man, so that midfield, unstoppable that next year. There's the flag.
They've won the flag. Well, we'll be here every night next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and also tomorrow night, same time, same place. Ralphie, Joe, and Dicko, see you then on trading day.
This has been a Fox Sports production.